Colossians 1:4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have for all the saints, for the hope which is laid for you in heaven, which you have heard before the word of the truth, which you have heard before in the word of truth or the gospel, which is common to you, as it is all in the world, and brings forth fruit as it does in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear beloved servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Can we verse 9 to 11 to, or to 13 together? For this cause, I know that is everybody. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you, as we desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us partakers of inheritance. Look at Paul's prayer. He says, for this cause, verse 9. He says, when we do not cease to pray for you, of course, that shows you the nature of prayer. In the epistle, when you say prayer, oftentimes you hear, we do not cease. Or you hear things like, cease not, or you hear, pray without ceasing. Continue always in prayer. I said, the nature of prayer in the epistle is always continual. And so when someone talks against long hours of prayer, like I always tell you that there's nobody who prays and talks down the hour of prayer. When you see someone that says, it's too long, that prayer is too long. Now some of you are skeptical of what I'm saying. Say, why is pastor on long prayer? This is just October now. Don't worry, calm down. Yeah. Alright. We will meet ourselves where we meet ourselves. So I said, there's nobody who prays and talks down on the hour of prayer. It's too long. I remember there was a time, one of my few close associates, friends, you know, we were quite close. I just come and I started talking about prayer in a certain light. I had to call him. I said, check yourself. Check yourself. Something is wrong. You can't be someone who prays well and still talk down on prayer. And so when you see that your focus has shifted to talking down on prayer or thinking down on prayer, probably there are a few things you need to check in your life. If you are someone who doesn't like to pray, something is wrong already. Something is wrong already. You will need to fix that. And so Paul says, I cease not to pray for you, right? That was Colossians 1:9. But what was his prayer? To desire that he might be what? Filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This doesn't look like a prayer that wants you to blow. And if you look at all of the Pauline prayers in the epistles, epistles from Romans to what? Revelation. So that we don't start saying and that. Alright? If you look at all of Paul's prayer in the epistles, you will discover that you actually can know your spiritual growth. And you can be able to checkmate your desires. For example, if I discover that everything I pray about all the time is God, how will you give me the money you promised? As in, if you promised anyhow. Or God, when will I marry? God, where are my children? In your stomach. Now, I just said I'm a layman. There's no child in the stomach. Alright. God, where is my certificate? God, where is this? Where is that? You know, oftentimes, because of the play down in Christian doctrine in this age, which is going, is changing, hallelujah, we now see Christians have very apathetic prayer point. Prayer point that has nothing to do with what God is doing on the earth. Or you think the car you need has something to do with what God is doing on the earth? No. As cruel as this may sound, which I don't mean to, your marriage has nothing to do with what God is doing on the earth. Your career has nothing to do with what God is doing on the earth. You know what God is doing on the earth? He is saving men by the gospel of His Son. If that does not satisfy you, I don't know what does. That's spiritual growth. When that begins to make sense to you, that see, this is what God is doing. Hallelujah. So look at Paul's prayer. It says that he will be filled with the knowledge of God's will. In his prayer in Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1:19. Right? Right? Remind me. Jesus gives them to you. Make mention of my prayers. And the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? Wisdom of the Spirit. That is revelation in knowledge of Him. That you may be enlightened. That you may know who. What is the hope of His calling? The riches of His glory. So you are hearing, you are being bars. We believe according to the working of His mighty power, which wrought Him. When He raised Him from the dead. His qualities are power, and might, and dominion, and everything that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. And I put under His feet to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filled all in all. And you are the everything. Hallelujah! That's beautiful. Look at that prayer. Some say which prayer? This is what I look like incarnation. You are adding bad, God sees you. I have to stop at the point. Power. God sees your heart. But look at that prayer. That you may know the hope of His calling. It doesn't sound like a prayer that will make you grow. You know what I'm saying? That you may know the hope of His calling. What is the hope of His calling? The riches of His glory. The riches of His glory is inheritance in the saints. What kind of prayer is this? Look at the one in Ephesians 3. Say that you may know the depth, the height of God's love. In Philippians 1:9, he was talking about that you may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. How does he look at a prayer that wants you to, you know, in Colossians 4:12, when he was talking about the prayer of Epaphras. What was the prayer of Epaphras? That you may abound well in the will of God. And so, if you look at all those prayers, even the one he asked them to pray for him in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayers of the vision in the Spirit. If you look at the one in Romans 15:30-31, that may be saved from those who do not believe in Judea. In service for Jerusalem, you are saved of all saints. You know, if you look at the prayer focus of the epistles, it's quite different. It should not be from what we are. It should not. It shows you the prayer focus of God. Hallelujah. And so, go back to Colossians 1. That's for my emphasis tonight. So, it's not the prayer, all the prayers, there are no prayers that you should be better than your peers. Any prayer that puts you, okay, let's leave that. Like I always say, nobody needs the Bible to be a successful businessman. I'll say it again. Nobody needs the Bible to be a successful businessman. I was reading earlier how Paystack has been sold. About 18 billion naira. That's business. You don't need, which Bible verse will you use for that one? So, I've been using the Bible, the word of God to me. How much has it brought you? 50k. Oh. Okay, better go and sit down. See, I believe in kingdom prosperity. In the kingdom you don't lack. How much is your account? So, it's only because you have all 200k. You think you're not lucky. I'm not saying, you now start saying, Pastor, and greed now setting. Be contented, though. Hallelujah.
But we are the people that they receive and give and receive and give and yeah, 10k, 5k, 2k, 1k. What does that mean that they used to put on WhatsApp status for Saji? That's what will bring you down one. Hallelujah. Nobody needs the Bible to be a successful businessman. That's the truth. Anyone who's telling you that wise probably doesn't know anything at all, or he himself is not a business person. Yeah, a business person, you know, which no Bible verse gets you any deal done. Except the gift of a man makes way for him. Something like that. No Bible verse gets you deals done. And so, that cannot be the emphasis of our prayer. Paul says that you may be filled, Colossians 1, that's where we are. That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. That you may be filled with knowledge of his will. And spiritual understanding, right? Right? And spiritual understanding. What understanding there is the word sunesis. S-U-N-E-S-I-S. You must have heard that in many cultures. Sunesis. I've explained this before. Spiritual growth. Eh? What spiritual growth looks like. God bless you. What spiritual growth looks like. Are you explaining it? Sunesis. When you say sunesis, that's understanding. It's the ability to put things together. I'm going to remember that teaching now. Uh-huh. The ability to put things together. How do I explain this? You know, when you say someone is intelligent, right? You say smart. He's intelligent. That's sunesis. He easily can comprehend things and say, okay, if you say this, this is what it means. For example, I was talking about the entire process that's going on, and I was talking about the reformation of police and process indicators, outcome measures. I was talking to someone, and I said, because I've been reading on how SENA countries did it. Observe my terminology, SENA. Alright, that means we are sane. So I was telling him, I know. And when I said something, he said, is that in the mentioned name of the article? I said, yes, that's it. He said, apparently he wrote something after 13 years. And you know, I was glad he was putting things together. I was learning, he was learning. You know, I'm not as smart as he is, especially in that field. I try my best to just read up all these things. I'm not that smart when it comes to politics. So I'm not going to, don't come and meet me for political. I'll just quote Colossians for you. Alright, so, but what I love was that it was smart. I was saying the same thing to someone like 2 days ago. And, coming back. Okay, but we still have it as. I said, okay. When you think you are wise, you don't think you are wise your whole life. Yeah, but you said, but we see it. All I know. After you end it now, you're not going to have anybody who's going to be anti-robbery. Come on. All I shall know for now. We are on the same side. Hallelujah. Alright, so, but the other person was able to put it together. You know, there are people who are naturally intelligent. Yeah, people who are I remember my secondary school. There's this guy that I knew. He's a medical doctor now in the UCH, University College of Hospital Ibadan. You know, when we entered, we used to write entrance exam to enter the school. It's over 150. Now, when the school starts from SS1, you know, just 1 to 3. So, it's a science school, we are all science students. And so, we write an entrance exam in which you, as a justice student, you're going to write an entrance exam that contains physics, chemistry, biology to enter. So, you should know it's for the intelligence. You see, head boy is failing. Head boy from the school will fail. It's normal. And so, when we wrote the exams over 150, I think I had a 96, and I was like number 112 or something. Yeah. And this guy had 141. He was number one, apparently. Yeah, 141 over 150 for physics that we have never done. I even had to attend extra lesson to be able to write the exam and get 96.
So, my, because where I'm coming from, I'm smart. You know, it's not that kind of thing. You are not disgracing me. So, my eyes were on him. They put him in the SS1A. I was in SS1G. No, it's not because of our... We were 600, come on. And I was one around, so, I tried, though. I tried. That, even that one, they were expecting me. You're one around, wow. Must be brilliant. So imagine number one. But the funny thing is that every time, this guy gets the best in every subject, including Yoruba. You know, if someone is getting best in mathematics and physics, you say, be getting that one, I will get agri. He's going to clear agri too. He's going to clear geography. He's going to... Yoruba! How can you run Yoruba for someone else? How can you? And so, he was like that, SS1, then SS2 first term. Someone I jacked for the mathematics from him by a mark. And so we said, yes, revolution man. They were like, yes, that means God has made space. God has made space, Tano. You know, he said everything about him, blasphemed, cursed him. Nothing happened. And so I discovered I was getting better in chemistry. So I said, nothing will happen. I will just be reading only chemistry. All of that stuff, I can be getting 50. But this chemistry. And so, SS2 third term, I gotten so good in chemistry, they were calling me Baba Chemistry. That good. That very good. In fact, my nickname was Yemi TCM. I think you know that. The TCM was for tetrachloromethane. You know, it's so much, I knew chemistry. And that was the last time we were going to be doing things together, because we were going to separate us into medicals, engineering, social science. So nobody is going to be competing with anybody anymore. So I said, this time. So I had 87. Record breaking never happened in the school. I ran to his class board to see. He had 88. I cried. I mean, this was all I read for. The funny thing that made me cry? He plays ball all the time. I've never seen him read. I will stay in school after I start listening to do extra reading. After the extra reading, I'm going to get home and still read. I think I sleep most times 2 o'clock. What am I reading? Chemistry. And then he said at 88. Then he came to me, he said, wow! Record breaker! You are the record breaker. He said, hey, you are 87. He said, that's amazing. You know, we can have people who are naturally intelligent like that. Or better put, smart. Smart. He can compare this on the Valentine's service day. I didn't show up. What's the point of showing up? I show you after you are done. But I was told he cleared everything. First math, first English. Okay, except physics. Someone else took that and eventually went to study a Greek. First math, first English, physics, someone else. Chemistry, biology, a Greek, geography, Yoruba. I'm very sure even if we had Arabic. Because he was a Muslim. Oh, he is a Muslim. Hallelujah. He didn't need the Bible. He didn't quote, but I was quoting verse. And I was quoting verse, I was ready. See, God helped those who helped themselves. I was helping God, he was helping me. And both me and God landed at 87. Hallelujah. He is naturally smart. Naturally. I heard he did A levels, he had a scholarship. He blasted this woman, he had a scholarship to go to the medicine in the University of Ibadan. That's how smart he is. Now, Paul says, and he's praying for the church in Colossae, and he says, you also can be spiritually intelligent. Yeah. So it means we can have believers who are not smart. Not in physics, spiritually. They cannot put things together. Hallelujah. Are you with this evening? They can't put things together. They are not smart.
So there is spiritual intelligence. He calls it to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. That means when it comes to God's will, you can put A and B together and say, okay, this is what God is saying. I forget what I just said now. When it comes to God's will, when it comes to God's plan and purposes, you can actually, you are smart. If you are a disciple, which I believe everyone is, you will need this. You need to understand this sometimes. First, I was teaching. I was telling Broshola what day was that. What day was that? Last week, Thursday. Eh? I was telling myself, you know, sometimes I'm just patient with you. And I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about some of our leaders. You see something. You say something, I just laugh. Why am I even passing? I just smile. Because I understand that sometimes spiritual understanding takes time. We're going to look at the four steps at least tonight. Hallelujah. You know, because if you're a disciple, because you're teaching someone, you expect the person to, you know what I'm saying now? Make informed decisions. You know, decisions that when he tells you, you say, you must have listened to so teaching. Or is it because of what I said last week? But then the person comes. So I've made up my mind though. I don't even know what to say. Brother,
why?
Were you not there when pastor was saying? I was there. But what God told me, calm down. You know what I said? If you are discipling people, you too must have spiritual understanding. Where you can put things together. And so because if it's not there, see what is going for an entire church. not church in Atlanta, church in an entire city. And he says, all of you, I'm praying for you that you can put things together in the spirit or by the spirit. And he calls them to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. So they need to see it together, to put it together. How many of you have ever been in a meeting where they were teaching God's word? You know that probably now you can now reckon. Come on, look at me. Now you can reckon that you are teaching God's word. Listen, you have been in that kind of teaching for the first time and then nothing makes sense to you. You are just waiting to go home. Have sense. And they were teaching, you say, what did I come and do here? So, and the pastor was sweating. Saying, so they helped Moses. You have to see. When Moses was saying, so many years then, the next session begins saying, thank God. The next thing you took the Bible home. I don't know what it says. The MSC has happened to me before, yeah? Good. What happened to you in that meeting is that you lack understanding. You could not put it together. You could not read what you are writing. Say, killing quack or by. I see someone say, what did the pastor say? What could he have said? What could he have said? And I say, Moses. For Moses to and then we end up in David. I know David. I know Moses. What I don't know is what is between them. See, I know Jesus. Expand the beginning at Moses. I know Jesus, I know Moses. What did he begin? He expounded to them the things concerning himself. What are the things concerning himself? You could not just put things together. But now, you know, if you now pick up those teachings, I don't know if you have even picked up your teachings here. An old teaching, probably picked up your notes, or you start listening to the guy and say, now this makes sense. What's your answer? If it has not happened to you, something is wrong. That means you are not growing. Because if you're growing, it makes sense to you then. But there's a way that now I get why pastor said this. Now this makes sense. This makes sense. It means you are putting things together better. Is it making sense? And so Paul calls it spiritual soonnesses. Where you can put things together. where you can aggregate facts and then bring out the will of God from it.
So, Paul is praying for the church in Colossae. He says, I pray for you that your understanding will catch up. I'm praying for you that your perception and understanding will catch up with the will of God.
Hallelujah.
So, many times, you know, as believers, sometimes we take wrong decisions. You know, it's possible. Because we don't exhibit spiritual understanding. You know, we just take some decisions and you say, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. Nobody can change my mind. See, let me say this very well. Except, listen very well to this. Except for what is vividly written in God's word. And by saying vividly, I'm talking about things like healing, things like preaching the gospel and prayer, and walking in God's way. Never say nobody can change my mind. It is not just a wrong statement. It is anti-discipleship. I've always told, I said, when it comes to your own plans, you must be what? Eh? You must be flexible. When it comes to God's will, you must be rigid. God said this, and nothing can change it. You see, but when it comes to what you just woke up one morning, be flexible. Because, let me say this, it's easy for a man to just walk on his own, thinking he's pleasing God. I was talking to a friend yesterday. I said, the easiest thing, one of the things that the devil has mastered, is to make a man walk out of the will of God. He smiled. He said, I think it's true. One of the things that the devil has mastered so well is he will make a man walk out of the will of God and still make him think he is there. We had a whole lot of people like that. So, it's very disastrous when a man goes home. It's not by power, it's not by mind. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. It's by my spirit. It's not by logic. Are you listening to me? It's not by logic. That's the devil's voice. Paul says, that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will. In awe and spiritual understanding. You are able to put those together spiritually. You are smart. When it comes to God's will, you are smart. When it comes to God's will, you are intelligent. Praise God. So, it's not by Adam, it's by the Spirit. It's not by, I think if I did this, I think it will work. No. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. I choose the Spirit all the time. I want the Spirit all the time. Hallelujah. So, you need to ask yourself, am I exhibiting spiritual understanding? Am I smart spiritually? There are times that you want something, but you see, what God's will is saying is wait. There are times that you want to wait, and what God's Spirit is saying is go now. There are times that you just long for it, and God is telling you, what's that? You're not even going to have it at all. I thought there was a time I was making the plans, future, you know. I was going to JP, you know. Got everything, go finally, you know. Yeah, it's not really sent at all. So say, hey, so Pastor, you've had plans to leave us. Not now, not never. Inshallah. Hallelujah. Why we say Inshallah? Is this your mouth? You know, so I only, and everyone said, you're not even going to have that at all. What's very important is to preach. It's to preach. Missionaries should be raised there. So you're not even going to have it at all. At all means you're not even going to travel there for holiday. That's what at all means. At all means,
They let you know that vacation was like 2 day break. So why this country, this particular one? That's what God said. So you're not going to have it at all. But I've learned to just say yes, sir. It's spiritual understanding. You can put together what God is saying. You can make sense out of God's will. The moment, listen very well, the moment God's will does not make sense to you, God is saying, we are singing this song. I say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I say yes, Lord, yes, I will jump you out of way. When God says it to me, we pray, I will be yes. But then he now talks. I say, no, John. He said, God, come off it. He said, come off it. It's disastrous. So you need to ask yourself, am I yielding to the flesh or to God's spirit? Am I yielding to my voice or God's voice? Or the devil's voice? May the voice of the devil not sound like God's own in my ears. May it not sound like God. You know, sometimes the devil masks himself and it looks like leading. Yeah? It looks like leading. I don't have a particular ear like that. And then, it looks like inward witness. And I'm someone who has, a training I had between 2010 to 2014 very well. It was with inward witness. Inward witness, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. It almost appeared like a professional. I was well trained. And so, I knew it was appearing like that way. I would have an inward witness. The normal way I would have. I said, this is God. Yeah, but there was just something that was countering it. That's not a counter voice. And that boy, that counter voice, you know what he said? Go and pray. I'm smart enough to know that's the voice of God. You know what? The devil would never ask you to go and pray. You just need to be smart. The devil will never ask you to see. That's the way when they say, do prayer group. Anybody who is forcing you to pray, who is forcing you to serve God, who is forcing you to preach, can never be working for the devil. It's not possible. You know what the devil will have you do, or will have you not do? The devil will have you not pray. So when Jesus was telling you, go and pray, just know that that God's voice is talking to you. Are you with me? The devil can never be the one inspiring prayer. And so, I just had that impression. Pray about this. I guess as I was praying, the devil was unmasked. Clearly. I said, thank God I prayed. Thank God I prayed. But if you are a believer who is not smart, you know what you do? You go ahead. You go ahead with that first voice. And then when the devil says, pray, you say, God has spoken, at least God has spoken. This is what I just to my overzealous self. There's nothing as such as overzealous in the ministry of Christ. How old are you that you can even be overzealous? How old are you? So it's okay. Remember this guy is for me. How old are you? That you can be overzealous. Serve God in your youth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, here's my answer. I have to ask myself, is this spiritual understanding? Is this spiritual understanding? Now, the prophet is going to help us a lot. Hey, which prophet again now? Proverbs chapter 3. Are you with me tonight? Proverbs 3. I believe God is talking to you tonight. You should listen. Proverbs 3, verse 5. But then in verse 5 to 7 together, and I want it to make sense to you as you read it.
Trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. He says, trust in the Lord, and lean not on your understanding. What lean there is in the Hebrew word, shaan. S-H-A-A-N. S-H-A-A-N. It means to support oneself. The way you support yourself. He says, trust in the Lord. Don't be your own support. How about that? Trust in the Lord. Don't rely on you. It is one of the things that I think the training of the Spirit has helped me with, from the person who trains me, is the fact that I now know, or at least in the recent year and decade, I have known that I am not the wisest person on earth. So maybe you know you are not too. If nobody knows you, you know you. You know you are not that smart, Abby. Abby, you know you are not the wisest person. You know you are not the best person. Sometimes they come to you for advice, but you cannot tell the person that. Better leave me. I mean, that happened to you before, you won't lie. Someone comes to you for advice and you just move away and say, this person relates me a lot too. You didn't really see me. But of course, you put on the show and say, that one is doing, and he's going to speak, does not mean he's right. Now look at her grammar. That's it. I guess. What did you see happen again? Oh God. Hey God, it was bad. You didn't let go of a God. You should have done that. Hallelujah! you must always record that you're not the smartest person. You're not the wisest person. He says, don't be your own support. One of the hallmarks of walking in the flesh is that you start to put God aside. You start to put God aside. He says, trust in the Lord. So, the first step of spiritual understanding, of attaining that synesis, is that I learn to make God my support. Not me. Not myself. Does that make sense? So, I am not my own support. God is my support. He says, lean not on your own understanding. That means, listen very well. Paul talks about a spiritual understanding. Right? Look at what Solomon is saying here. He says, there's also your own understanding. When you've had everything figured out. Hallelujah. You've had everything figured out. If this one comes like this, I will do this one this way. This should happen now. Then after this one just happened, just, I don't know about running the place of plans. That's something for another day. But you also have your own putting it together. Paul says, Proverbs says, that should not be your support. Don't lean on your own logic. Don't lean on your intellect. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Verse 6 says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Hey! Strong word. Strong word. You know why I say strong? Because you use the word in all your ways. In all your ways. Acknowledge him. What are you going to acknowledge about him? His own understanding. Because he already told you, don't lean on your own. Then he says, you have to lean on him. Acknowledge him. He says, he will lead and direct your path. He will lead and direct your path. Verse 7 is very important. Be not wise in your own eyes. I want you to write that down like, see God talking to you now. Be not wise in what? In your own eyes.
Then get out the book of prophecies. He calls living on your own understanding evil. That's context. That says, fear the Lord, depart from evil. So the moment I don't acknowledge God, listen very well. The Bible sees it as evil. Hallelujah. So, you must put your heart to it to say that you trust the Lord's voice, not yours. I'm saying this again and repeatedly so that I can speak. Be not wise in your own eyes. You must go for spiritual understanding. Where all of God's will is what you are hearing. Where what God is saying is making sense to you. If you are an Igbo here, you are in your first Yoruba class, you must understand what I'm saying. I don't have been in Yoruba class before, and you are Igbo. But even Yoruba class say that you don't understand anything. You know, I don't understand. I want to get out. Can this period be over? Because, except the story time, that will make sense to everybody. You just get something to translate it for you. But, you know, in that class, nothing was making sense. Nothing was knitting together. Right? I remember my French class, GS2, I have F. Intentionally, I didn't write the exam. A strong get boy. I said, nothing in this class makes sense. That's what I wrote to them. But I'm going to suspend me. They called my dad after one slap. I said, everything makes sense. He said it again. It makes sense. They called him, came from Ibadan to Osun State. I was in boarding house. I said, nothing in this class makes sense. That's what I wrote on the exam paper. So I had an F because I don't understand. I want tableau noir. Yeah, on stilo. I had viral, Abby. Imagine. Stilo. Paris! On stilo. Tableau noir is blackboard. Abby? Chair is what? Yeah, pardon, talon. On talon. On chair. How is it? You know, but it makes sense. Everything she was saying at the point I was contemplating jumping out of the class. Is that how God's will sound to you? Is God's will making sense to you at all? If it's not, chances are high that you are leaning on your own understanding. Chances are very high that you are leaning on your understanding. So, we must lean on God's voice and get what God tells us all the time. His word. You know, I said this here before. I said, you can't call someone the word and say he's not talking. You can't call someone the word, like, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was God. John 1:1. You can't call someone the word and say he doesn't talk. God talks to us. He makes his will known to us. He makes his plans known to us. And guess what? What he's talking about? His word. Let me say this very well. Listen to me if you are going to, If you are my disciple, so you should listen to me. 99% of the time, the Holy Ghost is not going to tell you anything new. 99% of the time, what the Spirit of God tells us, or what it does is to remind us of what is already in the Word of God. I'll say it again. Almost all of the time, what the Spirit of God will tell you is a reminder of what is already in this Bible. So, that must serve as a litmus for you already. Are you with me tonight? Are you with me? Whatever the Spirit, in quotes, because we have a lot of us, the Spirit told me this. Whatever the Spirit is telling you must look like the Word. It's a very same litmus. The moment what one spirit is telling you doesn't look like what the word of God has been saying and what has been taught, something is wrong. The devil is playing a card. That's why oftentimes these days when I hear the spirit told me. I was like, and don't feel offended if I ask you, I ask everybody. Because when there is a spirit, I always say, which spirit? How have I asked you before? No. Let me see your eyes. I must have asked you, your partner just observed. I asked a lot. He said the spirit. Probably because some of you don't tell me the spirit told me. If you have been here for 4 years or 3, even 2, and you're telling me spirit, Mule Kwenko. You want to come and seek counsel and you're telling me spirit. I won't tell you anything. Naturally. Save and led otherwise. I'll tell you, Elizabeth, I've told you. Because by now you should know the consequences of your actions. If you are still a Christian and you don't think about the consequences of your actions, you have not grown spiritually. When you are preaching, you must think about the consequences of it. When you're about to say something, you must think about it. This is what I'm about to say. Is here defined? I'm just saying it so that time can pass. You must always think about the consequences. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So you're growing. That's why your words will be few. You must think about consequences. You're about to take a decision. You think about the consequences. How many lives will be affected by this? For starters. Let's start with that. I'm going to give account for that. Many people have worked in their own plans, thinking they are doing God's will. And a whole lot of lives has followed them like that. You're going to give account for those lives. So, you must calm down. So when the Spirit tells you, you must check the spirit. You know why? You can't see the spirit, but you can see God's word. You have not seen the spirit, at least for now. Some people say they claim to be eating with the Holy Ghost and drinking tea. And they claim that on that level of spirituality, you are just dense. You dummy. How can spirit be drinking tea? You dumb. So I was okay. Which spirit was drinking tea? I know you are talking about that. So I was talking to God yesterday morning. I put a cup of tea here, and the tea was gradually going down. Tell me, which brand does God know? Pink Milk or Dano? So as I was about, I was just in the mirror, and I saw him. You saw yourself. Oh yeah, maybe because you are created in his image, but you saw yourself. You know, sometimes we just want to appear spiritual and forget that Jesus did not even see all these things. Jesus did not drink tea and say, "The Father is drinking. The Father is drinking the tea." He didn't see all of that. How do you know that all Jesus' exploits, as it were, they were simple? You heal the sick, you raise the dead. There's nothing like a tree's robe. The person that was in, said it herself that I was going to touch it. Jesus wasn't touch my robe. Hallelujah. He didn't lift the sea from where the sea is. I said, "Can you see? I am the Lord." It is a mountain. Come like this. Bend like this. 70 degrees. Are you saying, "Come back. I'm the Lord"? At least use your miracles wisely. Spiritual understanding. What is the point of me telling you, throwing my handkerchief and putting my handkerchief on the chair and say, "Sit on it"? And you now sit on it and say, So, now that we have done that, no. The question is, now that we have done that, what has he brought to the church? Who is edified? Me or you? Apparently, you know you are not edified. You know what you are doing. You know what you are doing. Me, I know what you are doing. Who is deceiving you? See, the man of God, let's achieve in me. And so, some people have now, because of their lack of spiritual discernment. Are you having a teacher of that? Discernment, You know the lack of spiritual discernment. They see, I say, "Oh, wow. So that pastor is spiritual. Ah, he can make a mango an apple." I just went to that church. It's just like this. What is this mango? I like this. What is this apple? So now that mango has turned to apple, who is edified? That's the question. That is spiritual understanding, you know? Because you know the essence of miracles. Miracles were never just for miracle's sake. Miracles were to get someone better. So now that mango has turned to apples, or that the backdrop has miraculously turned from white to red, who is edified? Spiritual discernment or spiritual understanding will tell you, this is not making any sense. God cannot be the one doing all of this. Jesus never did any miracle to show that he was Jesus. Anything that is asking you to perform a miracle is the devil. It's the devil that told Jesus, do this thing. Let it turn from stone to bread. When you are under an obligation to perform a miracle, that's the devil's voice. Under an obligation, you must perform. You must If you don't do it, that's the devil talking to you. And so I must ask myself, let's go back. Am I in the spirit or in the flesh? This statement I'm making, is it informed by spiritual understanding or my own understanding? Does it make sense? Is it informed by spiritual understanding or my own feelings? Because you are still in the world, you are not of the world, but you are in the world, you have feelings. Hallelujah. If you hear a believer, I don't have feelings. I don't have a friend like that. Do speak Coco. Until we saw his wedding ID. All I want to be saying, no! It's not. We are born of the Spirit. We stand strong with the God. Till God convinces us. He was the leader of that kind of clique. I was leader for others. Was either for fire, consecration. I was for utterance, anything that has to do with tongues, interpretation, prophecy, psalms, you know. We had leaders for different sects, don't worry. You know. So he was like, hey, he's just weak. He's not like nothing more. See, what are you thinking? No feelings here. Oh, and we just have an idea, very fine idea. That's the will of God, that's the will of God. You have feelings after all. You have feelings. I am. You do. You do. When Arsenal loses a match, I feel bad. When they win, I feel good. Hallelujah. You have feelings. So because you have feelings, your feelings can also taint your decisions. Feelings, they can affect, they have a level of influence over decisions sometimes. You must not allow that. Listen very well. You can't be emotional with what God is telling you. Sometimes in the will of God, sometimes as you go about serving God, you'll be offended. Sometimes you'll be excited. Can you see? Sometimes you're offended, sometimes you're excited. Someone looks at your study group and says, wow, this is the best study group I've ever marked. And then you go, God is good. He has done me well. Oh my soul. Rise up and pray. You feel excited. But you see, in all of this up and down, do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will lead and direct your path. Like I said, the way he does that is by what? He will lead and direct your path. The way he does that is by what? His word. Jesus said, even the Spirit of truth, it will bring these things to your remembrance. And so, the primary job of the Holy Ghost is not to tell you new things. Let me say this again. And I will read it again because I'm convinced and I'm sure of what I'm saying. The job of the Holy Ghost is not even to tell you new things. It's to remind you of God's word. And so, we have a perfect check to what the Spirit told me. The perfect check will be, what does the word of God say? Is it making sense? And so, trusting in the Spirit will be to trust in the word. Trust in the word. So, if you want to hear God's voice the more, you know what you are going to hear the more? You are going to listen to teachings the more. Are you with me? God's word oftentimes sounds like the teachings you have heard. You know, when you are going on visual, they will ask you, "Well, and dear God," they say, "As you mature, it's kind of like that person is unnecessary." Because if I'm listening to it, I'm hearing God. And so, God will not need to tell me, except I am a stubborn person. God will not need to tell me the second time by inward witness what He has already told me in His teaching. And so, He does not suffer true disciples to hear God often. True disciples do not suffer to hear God because they are always listening to His word. If you want to know a Christian who will not hear God oftentimes, he will not be a good listener. When you don't listen to teachings, it's primarily an indicator that you don't listen to God. Don't give me anything else. You can't say anything to convince me. If you cannot listen to a teaching, you cannot listen to God. There are things that God will have you, you know, decisions that you have to make. And you are going to hear it in Daniel the prophet. And that moment has nothing to do with leading our perception. You have to do it. But you know what? Because God talks in His word. When people say that, even people who are not members of our church, call me up and say, you just said something, especially Adventure of the Soul Winner. I think recently someone told me about that. Say, Adventure of the Soul Winner, was it series 2? And he said, "You made a statement. You are talking to me exactly. This person was not here. I don't know whatever was going on in his life." He said, I mentioned the exact situation. I said, "I didn't know." You don't have that for me, say, "That's how God works our ministry." Oh, God. I said, "I didn't know. You picked it. You were able to pick it. You could have listened to the teacher and nothing, and you probably have skipped it. That's why you skipped teaching." In pastor's son, be jarry. Move 20 seconds up. 20 seconds of missing God's will. I say, Pastor Carlo, that's God talking to you again. Hallelujah. And as you're saying, when I dropped the call, God had told me, said, exactly how I talk. Now, that person would not need God to now speak to him again concerning that disciple that he was telling me about. You get what I'm going to say? He will need God now start telling him, "You go to so. He already told him through a teacher. The Holy Ghost will always bring to remembrance the things He has said. He said, "He will bring to your remembrance my words." And so, stop looking for new things. Trust in the Lord. Trust in His word. Hallelujah. For example, your study group. What a study group will do for you is to help your spiritual understanding. If more than 7 over 10, it's more than 8 over 10. It's more than getting 4 over 10 or getting 9 over 10. Put your focus on it. Don't lose focus. Earlier today, God was talking to me about our study group. If you take it serious, see, it's not to show anybody that you know it. Be studying it like God is talking to you afresh with it. What a bliss it is when you have myriads and plethoras of teaching to listen to. You don't know what you've got. You don't know what you've got sometimes. Sometimes we don't know what we have until we lose it. May you not lose it. I mean too. Sometimes we don't know what we have. How many of you have realized that? Probably from life experiences. I have. Sometimes when you have, I was saying that with the microphone earlier. Sometimes you don't know how good something is. See, something that happens, that will not be your own case, so. You didn't say amen. And there was a time that you had someone that was just teaching me, I thought it was too much now. Pastor would come, teach us, yeah. I thought I was doing too much. Ministry is not a lay, right? May you not be in that situation where you'll be world standard. Now that I'll be looking for JC Media. Let me just download one. You've not upgraded anymore. Stay with the word. Do not lean on your own understanding. He says, in all your ways you acknowledge. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So if you want to know how God speaks or speaks, He speaks in His word. Primarily. You know, you can't force that one. If you are not sure about your inward witness, you can be sure about what Paul says. Huh? You know, the Holy Ghost is not going to lead you away from the word. It's not going to lead you away from the word. If the word says, pray for godliness, walk in love with those who hate you. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. He's not going to tell you, you see Yatawa. You see Yatawa. It's fire for fire. It's fire for fire. You are not a dummy Christian. You are not a dummy Christian. You have the life of God in you. You can even say that too. In case you don't. If we talk like you are doing confession. See, you have the life of God in you. You have the fire. It's burning in your bones. You can't keep quiet for opposition. When your power comes, like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise his, this is the Jesus. It is written in the word. He will give his angels charge over you. Does that one sound like word of knowledge? If you hear that, say, it's written. He will give his angels charge over you. So you will not fall. I say, let me dash my, say, his angel, you will not dash your feet against the stone. Doesn't that sound like confession? And so you go, I can do it. I can do it. I will. The word says I will not dash my feet against the stone. It gives his angels charge over you. But that was the devil talking to you. Spiritual understanding. What was Jesus' reply? You don't tempt God. Get away from me, Satan. You must be able to put it together. Hallelujah. So, when that voice comes and says, should the Bible say, you are a chosen generation. That means you are special. I'm always careful of any voice that tries to isolate me. In my Christian journey, which is a few days, just a few days, that I've been saved and I've been teaching, I have learned to do that. You see, that voice that tries to make you feel special is most likely not God. Say you are a chosen generation. You. Not it didn't say the church. He said you. You can do whatever you put your mind to. Mr. Jose Dabu, Jose Juicy DJ, DJ Coffee. And he said, look at the palm of your hands. Nobody has the same. No, see, there's nothing special about you. You are a believer. That's already special. Is that clear? You don't like that. Motivational speech has always been the one puffing you up. You are special. Nobody is like you. Of course. Hallelujah. Being a believer is already special. And so you follow that. Are you with me? And so be careful of one voice, see, if you want to walk perfectly in the will of God, put voice aside. Stay with His word. His voice will now become clear. Those who read the Bible well enough, they recognize when God is talking. And they know when it's not God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you trust in the Lord. Tell me about trusting the Lord. Tell me about trusting the Lord. As simple as that, the sign, it's an anchor for your soul. Trust in the Lord. And don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own logic. Don't lean on your own gimmicks. Don't lean on your experience. I said this even concerning ministry. As you go about teaching, discipling men, don't lean on your experience. Are you with me? Don't lean on logic. This person looks educated. I'm going to start from we just talk from normal philosophical. Don't lean on your understanding. In healing the sick,
Don't lean on your understanding. Trust in the word. Put things together.
Primarily, how do I put things together?
I stay with the word. Stay with the name. Stay with what Paul has said. Stay with what Peter has said. Stay with what James has said. Stay with what Hebrews has said. Stay with what Joel has said. Stay with the word. You know, we have that song. Give me the word. Make it plainly clear to me. Give me the word.
Pray for me.
Is the light that I now see. Give me the word. It's my total victory over every situation. I have the word. I have the word. Is the life that I now see. I am the word.
Stay with the word. Hallelujah. Are you here? Stay with the word. Just preach and teach. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Stay with the word. Stay with the word. Begin with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual esteem. Knowledge of which let it make sense to you as His will. Against nations.
Yes, hello?
It's nonsense. Against nations. Against religion. Against common sense as is common. Stay with the world. Are you free? Stay with the world. Stay with the word of the Bible. Stay with the apostle. What your soul leader said. You know, as simple as that is the truth. You know why it's safe? If you miss anything, it's not on you. Hallelujah. How about that? That's a show. Stay to what your leader said. If you miss anything, it's not on you. I was telling you earlier, I said, what a bliss. To have those who are over us in Christ. It's a bliss. If you become a pastor for a day, you will know what I'm saying. It is too long. So 12 hours. 12 hours. I don't know who else God do. Not even I just want to collect money from people. I just want to be known. I've told you on Sunday. Any prophet that wants to be known, you is a prophet you should worry about. In the Old Testament, prophets used to stay away from the king. Yes or no? In fact, the king we have to say, do we have a prophet here in Israel? And they would say, there's Elisha, the son of Shaphat. He used to stay in the caves. Look at John the Baptist. He took him down the wilderness, right? He's a local salon. So when you see a prophet in the city, a prophet beside his house, the prophet should worry about. So I'm not a kind of prophet. Prophet, someone who is serving God. You will know that it's a bliss to have someone over you. It's a bliss. It's an advantage of a Taliban. Your servant is your advantage. You know, you can actually stay with the leader of the spirit in that way. If you ask me to understand it, you will know God puts men in our lives to put us on His path. No meeting is a mistake. God orchestrates your paths. The word of God says, He puts the solitary harmonies. Right? What did you say that? The church of Jesus begins. He puts the solitary in families. He does that tree. When God meets you, meet me. Me meeting you. You meeting me.
promise. Really, Daniel,
if God's orchestration to make us fulfill his will, shall we be wiser than God?
Right?
So it's been foolish for me now live where God has put me. With a force he has surrounded me. As I want to walk on my own. I'm not being spiritually smart.
Spiritual understanding will stand
in that I will stand where he asked me to stay. Do what he asked me to do. Read what he asked me to read. Listen to what he asked me to do. You must be able to put things together. And that's not coming by staying with God.
Stay with God. It looks simple. It looks bland and colorless. It looks pale. And God, there's no need to. No, they're not talking about
God. What do you have to say?
All I will do is alone with God. Sometimes I'll be alone with God.
How are there things such a good person? Alone with God. If that was any that love you that again, I won't put on that thing. It's too harsh. To avoid the flesh. I'm going to start against him. To avoid the flesh. I'm asking to set up myself for profit. Yes, to avoid the flesh.
And you think that God is saying
alone with him.
Don't force God to talk to you. The moment you start talk, Lord.
Thank you.
Okay. Test
him. Test him in the air.
Test him.
1, 2, 1, 2. Hallelujah. A two.
And you know, guess how he's going to start to?
My son. He's going to mask it.
Stay in a place where you can have revelation about the rain. So part of the rain comes to you in solitary. Don't teach anything, nobody, just a moment on your own.
The last time I got going to say, you will need to have spiritual. That's all the quoting Bible. There's no way to eat.
Jump up by she will call down fire like Elijah did. He was a new experience. Second Kings chapter.
Jesus said, when you understand spiritually, if you are able to put things together, you will know that that is not a spirit. So you stand in the world.
Is that clear?
Stay with us is my thought. Trust in the word.
Spiritual understanding
is how we grow spiritual.
It's how we stand the will of God.
It's how we please God for the rest of our lives. God's voice will not sound like a stranger to me.
God's voice will not be boring to me. The moment a teaching is boring to you, the moment that is boring, you just need a fresh meeting. Hey!
God's word is new every day.
That's what I want
his word.
I want to stay with the simplicity of God's word.
I will walk out.
Don't walk out of what he says.
I will stay with his faith,
even as it is for the word.
Hallelujah.
I will stay with that simplicity.
Which will be my ever abounding anchor.
Yes.
I will seek another. I will see the voice of another. I will be wise in my own eyes.
The voice of God is foolish to me. The voice of God is foolish to me. It will be wisdom for us. Marry to my bones. Pray for yourself tonight.